It's very obvious that the glaring theme in tonight's readings is that of humility. And humility and the church have not always gone hand in hand with the church leadership. It hasn't always gone hand in hand. Sometimes there's been a great lack of humility. These readings should make those in positions of great leadership, what some might call power, should make them a little uncomfortable, and it should also create the opportunity for those of us in any role of leadership at all, should create an opportunity for us to just examine how are we before those that we live with, that we work with, if we are a leader, those that we lead. How do we treat those people? How are we perceived by those that we are with? But be careful of perception. As one of the sayings goes these days, perception is the new reality. What you think you see sometimes is actually not what the truth is, not what's actually going on. It's a little bit like when somebody criticises the preacher for saying something that somebody disagrees with. And these are all examples of humility this evening, because when somebody comes up to the preacher and questions or interrogates, had that, completely disagrees with something that is said, of course the respectful thing is the way that we do it, but that doesn't always happen. And so my response, as some of you may have heard, my response is when somebody has a go at me about something they think they've heard, is I always say, if it's appropriate, I'm responsible for what I say. I am not responsible for what you hear. And so in that way, I can perhaps introduce a little bit of humility into the situation that they perceive is a reality. You've just got to be very careful in managing people who may be difficult. But people who are difficult are also the ones that very often create an opportunity for us to be humbled. And I accept that. And there are many, many examples of where humility is exercised by people who are in great authority. And it is quite often the little person, the outsider, what scripture would say, the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind. It is quite often those people who confront us and bring us out of our pedestals and bring us down to a place of true humility. The word humility comes from the Latin word humilis, which means low. It doesn't mean lowly in birth, by birth or anything like that. That's not what it means. It means somebody who is further, they're not in the shining light. So you could use the word behind the scenes, somebody who likes to stay out of the limelight. That's where the word actually gains its strength. And then I look at other words that are attached to it, and of course we get the word human, we get the word humus, which is where the earth, that means the earth, and I'm trying to look at connections here, but it always, for me, comes back, for my entire priestly life, it nearly always leads back to, and you might find this odd, actually back to humour. And I think myself that appropriate humour, that humour is probably the key that can be used and is used, especially in church leadership, to bring us back in a humble way, bring us back to our humility. And I guess it's exemplified by those who do not, in leadership, exercise humility. And I remember the story of a certain cardinal in America who was invited to a dinner, and people were taking their places at the dinner. And it was realised by one of the organisers that the cardinal was not at the head of the table. to line up with tonight's scripture, actually. And they were embarrassed, and so they went up to the cardinal and they said to him, Eminence, I'm so sorry, I have misplaced where you were supposed to be. You were supposed to be at the head of the table. And the cardinal replied, wherever I sit is the head of the table. See where I'm coming from? It's a very serious thing in one sense, but humour actually has the ability to highlight the issue for the individual, and it has the ability to really tell us who this person is, what they stand for, and what they value and see important. And if that value and if that importance is just themselves, that is so easily observable to the rest of the audience. There are two people in our life, that in my lifetime, that really and truly exemplify humility in the public forum. And the first I would have to say is the Dalai Lama. There are plenty of others. But the Dalai Lama, if you've ever sat in on one of his audiences, or you've observed them, or even done any of his readings, the Dalai Lama is so humble to the point that he's almost simple in common language. He has that thread that can connect everybody without reaching up into the clouds. He himself places himself in the presence of those that are around him, and he keeps it so, so simple, so uncomplicated. It's also balanced with a real gentleness and a real sincerity. And that might be part of the Buddhist thing. In fact, I do know that it is. But the Dalai Lama also has a bit of a wicked sense of humour. And I went hunting for this because I think that humour and humility, they work so well together. Humour can undo. It's the key sometimes to our humility. And it can bring us down before each other and before God, probably to where we need to be. I remember one time in a series that was being filmed called The Dalai Lama Renaissance. And the question was put to the Dalai Lama about pain and experiencing pain. And he just simply said, nobody likes pain. Nobody wants pain. Nobody wants to get bitten by a mosquito. I don't want to get bitten by a mosquito. I don't like it. And then he started talking about something else. He got a little sidetracked, and then he came back and he said, and I remember seeing this, and he goes, now, what was I talking about? Oh, mosquito must have taken it. So once again, he did not have to keep the spotlight on himself in that sense. He just knows how to be with people. And that's not from the front. More often than not, it's either side by side or even from behind. And he exemplifies that so well for myself. It's not about meekness, humility, and it's not about weakness either. And one of the great popes, now a saint of the last century, Pope John the 23rd, really exemplified that as well. There are many, many humorous stories that come from Pope John, now Saint Pope John the 23rd. And one of them was a little letter that he received from a chap called Bruno. And I'm not changing the name because I read the Pope's autobiography, and that was the name. And Bruno wrote to the Pope saying, Dear Pope, I'm not sure, this was a young boy, I'm not sure whether I want to be a policeman or a pope. Can you help me? And John the 23rd, who was pope at that stage, said to Bruno back in a letter, he said to him, policemen are so important and so essential. You be a policeman, anybody can be the pope. And that really exemplified his whole papacy, John the 23rd, because he then went on later at one time when he couldn't sleep. He was a bad sleeper, and he would get up in the morning and he'd say, why am I worrying? Why am I worrying? And one of the responses that he wrote down, because he used to write down his thoughts, was that he said, God, you can do anything. You had 80 years to work on me. That's when he became Pope. You had 80 years to work on me. Why did you make me so ugly? And he was the Pope, the saint of the church, who opened the doors to let the air, the fresh air of the Holy Spirit in through the Second Vatican Council, which is still unfolding. A truly humble man in a great role of leadership, who exercised that with his seriousness, but also exercised it with a really healthy sense of humour. So for all of us at this particular stage in our life, whatever our woes or our worries, there are shining lights in there. And we just have to find them. And I suspect there's a couple of strategies that I just put for you, before you tonight, to help you in identifying those strategies if you feel that you need them, if you feel that pride is an issue for you, if you think that you lack humility. May I suggest these things? I've just been pondering them in my own prayer. Firstly, that just admit when you're wrong. It's hard to say sorry sometimes, but if that's the thing that is needed, and we quite often get it wrong, just admit that I was wrong, and you can move on with that. I also think one of the most powerful things is learning, coming back to humour a bit, just learn to laugh at yourself, particularly those of us in religious life, and if we live in community, it can be a real challenge. And we have to learn to look on the lighter side of the strengths and the weaknesses that exist within our community. But I think the ability to laugh at oneself occasionally is a great thing. I would also suggest in exercising humility and discovering or rediscovering humility that you treat yourself kindly. A society is very good at judging us and making sure that we are compartmentalised and quite often put down by our looks, our demeanour, whatever it might be. It's always by our lack of something, it seems to me. But treat yourselves kindly, and perhaps spend less time worrying about being right. It's a very competitive age that we live in now. I think if we kind of got that balance back into our life, humility would be a more natural thing for us, rather than me being right and them being wrong. Let's close that gap if we can, and perhaps let other people lead. I don't always have to be up front. One of the conversations I had with the Archbishop just recently was about delegation. Have the ability to be able to delegate. And for parents, delegation means trusting that your child or your children or those who you're living with there, they can do some of this stuff. As a parent, we don't have to do it all. The parents do the essentials, but we can delegate in trust. And you'll see that on our electronic sign down here, I've put up our parish. I've got "We support, are you okay?" Because next week is the second Are You Okay Day in Canberra. I think it's actually national. So that "Are you okay?" Asking that question, and don't be shy to ask somebody if they are okay. It's very, very important in these days when we have enormous mental health pressures upon many of us, and that's starting at a younger age. And then I'd say, by that I'm just saying, if you need help, ask for help. There are people there that are ready and willing, and if they're not able, they'll know somebody who is able. If we need help, have the humility to ask for help. And the other thing I'd say in terms of compliments and things like that, if you're going to make a compliment to somebody, make sure that it's meaningful. Make sure that it's realistic. Don't make it light and feathery and goozy. Make sure that the compliment reaches the heart of the person, because that's who, that's where you're aiming, and that's where you're coming from, hopefully. One of the ways, even built into the Mass, that prepares us in humility to receive Jesus holistically, physically and spiritually in our life are by those words, the last words we say together before communion. And if you struggle with humility, then make this your prayer. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Those words are perfectly placed in there to prepare us to come forward to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in communion. Lord, I am not worthy. I know I'm not worthy, but you call me. Only say the word. He has given us the word, and you have called me. And I'm trying my very best to answer. I don't need accolades. I'm just trying my very best to answer. So I think that the person who is truly humble, they would know where their place is before God. We are told where we are before people, but a humble person truly knows where their place is, where they stand before God.